Erie County Legislator Lindsay Lerigo. Lindsay, I know it's January 11th, but Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Before we get to the Wegmans issue, I do want your take on this audit that the comptroller has released, where $352,000 over that was overpaid to a place. Your thoughts, and what are you expecting to see from this?
I think it's incredibly concerning, to say the least. As soon as I saw it, I clocked in a letter asking that the state controller take a deeper dive into this. This is, I think, just the first layer. This audit only looked at the period from 2020 to 2022. I can tell you, since I've been a legislator, this cultural group has not received any funding. But if I had to guess, if we dug back further, there would be even more issues. To give a group over $300,000, and they're not even able to produce a bank record or credit card statement is completely and totally unacceptable. I understand that since this audit, the time period that it looked at has taken place, there's new administration there, but I still find it very difficult to believe that with the transition of leadership, there was not a transition of, hey, here's this bank account, or here are the records for how we spent over $300,000 of taxpayer dollars. This is one of the craziest audits I've seen since I've been in office. For the county controller to use the word pilfering in the audit is practically unheard of. The county executive also made a request that this be turned over to the attorney general, and I agree with him on that. I think this needs to go to the attorney general. This needs to go to the state for deeper investigation, and it's extremely concerning what we're seeing here.
So how does something like that happen? Is that a misstep at the county level? Is that abuse from the cultural center? I mean, how does that kind of money go walking and it takes an audit 3 or 4 years later to find?
So the county controller, he does select certain cultural groups to audit at random. This was selected to be audited. We know that there have been issues with this cultural group for a while. Some of my former colleagues have mentioned it themselves. And we know that this has been going on. I can tell you that there's organizations across the county that receive anywhere from $5,000 to $300,000, like this organization did. And typically what we see with these situations is we'll see small banking errors. You know, a lot of these groups have volunteer boards where, you know, maybe they need to dive a little deeper to find one bank statement. But we don't see $300,000 totally unaccounted for. I can tell you, when I give a group or when a cultural group in my district gets $1,000, they are so excited and they can point to exactly what they're going to spend it on. So to have this kind of money coming through an organization that we can't track, it's fraud and abuse. And that's really all there is to it.
So I asked the comptroller this question, and, you know, he didn't want to go too far in this explanation. But, you know, what are the next steps? I mean, what kind of consequences are there for this kind of money? I mean, can the county expect to ever see any of this money, or is at the end of the day, it's just going to be, well, we'll make sure that doesn't happen again?
I mean, I certainly hope so. They haven't received any money, like I said, since I've been there in 2024 and 2025. They didn't receive any more funding in the 2026 budget, which also tells me that, you know, the county executive was aware that they were going to have issues. It's unusual for a group to go from getting, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars a year to nothing, which tells me that this was on the radar. They knew that there were problems. I would expect and request that, you know, we do receive this funding back if we can't track how it was spent. There are certain guardrails in place when these contracts go out and they need to be fulfilled. So if a contract wasn't fulfilled, you know, there probably, as the controller said himself, law enforcement needs to get involved. We need to go into a deeper audit with the state controller, as he has more ability to do so. And we need to really get to the bottom of this. I know a lot of people, when they hear of government fraud and waste, they don't think that anything will be done of it. And I think we need to pursue this till the very end, to do everything we can to get this funding back.
So you said that you expect that this is the, I believe you used the expression tip of the iceberg or something like that. I mean, do you mean with this cultural center or overall in Erie County?
You know, we've seen on the national level, we know that there's fraud and abuse happening with state and local dollars. I think this opens a larger conversation of the auditing process and taking a look at what culturals are we auditing when. Like I said, we know that there have been issues with leadership changes at this organization in the past. I think we need to hold organizations that are receiving county funding more accountable. I mean, like I said, I will say I do think this is an outlier. I would not go as far to say that this is a widespread problem in Erie. Erie County. But knowing that these audits are coming, I think, you know, helps the cultural stay on track. But I will say, like I said, any cultural in my organization has been fantastic to work with. And whether they're getting $1,000, $5,000, or $10,000, usually these groups don't see sums of money like that. And they are on top of how they spend it. They execute the contracts properly. I think you see the abuse come into case when these, you know, groups might be used to getting more money and they don't feel the accountability there. Like I said, there's been leadership changes at this organization, but it's hard. It's hard for me to believe that you go from one board or one director to the next and you don't know where a bank account is. I think that's totally unacceptable.
I agree. We'll keep our eyes on this. Now, another story that was big early in the week is the biometric, the news that Wegmans is using biometric technology. I believe it came out that they were using it in some of the downstate locations. And you have now legislation to make people aware that that is happening, correct?
Yeah, it's been a busy start to the year. In New York City, they had a local law that passed that required commercial businesses that are using or collecting biometric data to post a notice outside of their place of business. That sparked a huge story because then suddenly we became aware of, you know, different local groups that are using this biometric data. You know, I work in the digital world every day in my real job. And I think, you know, there comes a time where this technology is something that we all know we're living with. We all have, you know, supercomputers in our pockets that, you know, if you say a certain word too many times, you're going to get, you know, all sorts of ads for, you know, umbrellas or whatever it might be. So we know that this data is being collected, whether it be voice recognition or facial recognition. I think the biggest difference here that makes people uncomfortable is that they're used to seeing, you know, a box to check that's saying, I allow you to do this, or, you know, I'm signing up for this. So I introduced a local law that would require businesses to post outside of their place of business that they are collecting this biometric data. My law does go one step further to prohibit the sale or distribution of the data if they are being collected. I will say I don't believe, and I know Mark Poloncarz is requesting a local law that completely banned the technology. I think that's a little out of touch. This is the world we live in. I think this really is just going to spark a larger conversation about what does AI look like in the world today, and government needs to be a little more on top of making sure that we're making consumers aware. I think that customers do have a right to know if this data is being collected.
That was my next question, because the Kanye executive, he wants this completely out. He does. I mean, again, I look at it as it's a security thing, and there's a reason that Wegmans in New York State needs needs to take security into their own hands. But he wants it completely out. You're not for legislation like that.
No, I don't think we should be telling businesses what they can and can't do to run their businesses better. You know, if this can prevent, you know, stealing and things like that, that's going to help all of the customers, as costs don't have to go up, or, you know, they can mitigate some of those costs. But like I said, this is the world we're living in. I think to say that we can ban this technology altogether is not, you know, it's hard enough to have businesses in New York State as it is. I don't think that we should be requiring them to do anything hindering, or if this is technology that could benefit them, who is government to say that they shouldn't use it? I just believe that consumers should be aware, it should be transparent, and it should be clear that, you know, Wegmans or whoever else it might be can't sell that biometric data to, you know, third parties or, you know, other areas. So this is really just about transparency. I think when it comes to technology in today's world, knowledge is power, and knowing that this data is being collected is, you know, the best thing we can do in limiting how it gets dispersed.
What would you say has the support, your legislation or what the county executive is proposing?
You know, I've had really great conversations this week across the aisle with some of my Democratic colleagues that are interested. I had a legislator the day after I clocked in my local law, he clocked in virtually the exact same local law. So I think there's a really great effort here to have bipartisan support to get this passed. But like I said, I think that this is just going to be the beginning. I think this is the start of larger conversations at the county level about technology and what that looks like, so that we can stay on top of making sure that consumers are having a transparent and open experience and that they have the knowledge if their data is being collected.
You know, Wegmans is obviously the one that, that is in the headlines this week. But, you know, if this legislation was passed, I mean, would you be surprised if there were already some places that would have to post the warning that they're using the same technology?
So I wouldn't be surprised at all. And I would say, I don't think this is a story about Wegmans. I think this is, you know, this is a bigger issue about technology today. I'm sure we're going to see lots of big box stores that come out and say, yes, we are collecting this. This is how we're using it. That's why I think it's just really important that consumers know that it's being done. And like I said, and really putting the limits on making sure that this can't be sold for other purposes, or this data that's being collected can't be, you know, repurposed for, you know, other things that we might not feel as comfortable with.
All right. You said busy start to the year. Anything else that's on the horizon we should be looking out for?
You know, these were a couple of things that came up that weren't necessarily on my radar, but for 2026, I'm still planning on, you know, really pushing the county. We know that we're not in a good financial position. We still have deficits that we haven't closed. Looking at 2026 moving forward, we did propose, my caucus did propose several amendments to the budget during the budget process at the end of the year in 2025. I plan to still pursue these, even though they failed. I think we need to have more accountability in terms of the controller as well as the budget director coming over on a regular basis and giving us a financial update. We are facing a year that we've never really seen before. I think my priority for the year is really going to be reining in spending and holding the county executive accountable for saying that we're headed for doom and gloom and, you know, continuing to spend. So it's going to be a busy year. I would just remind everybody that all the county legislators are back up on the ballot this year. So hold us accountable and always feel free to reach out to me with any thoughts.
You know, you talk about the financial cliff that the comptroller and the county executive keep talking about and blaming the federal government. But, you know, you also talk about the spending of the county. I mean, all this talk about it's all Trump's fault and pointing to Washington. I mean, what has the county done to you know, kind of reel in spending to kind of fix things on their own end?
You know, I didn't mean to jump in on you, but we've done nothing to reel in spending on our own end. You know, we proposed, my caucus proposed a budget amendment package that would have actually cut the property tax levy. It would have actually provided real tax relief to customers, or I'm sorry, to taxpayers. In the majority and county executive said no. They said we need to spend more. We need to add more jobs than ever. We need to acquire a new park in Amherst and put $6 million. You can't point to the federal government and say it is their fault when you continue to spend like money is just endless and in sight. So I think, you know, there needs to be accountability. It has driven me kind of nuts, to say the least, that you have the county executive and controller out there saying, ah, doom and gloom's ahead. You know, we're headed for poison and dead flowers in front of us, but yet they continue to spend and support spending plans. You can't have it both ways. It starts at the local level, and it starts with holding our local politicians accountable. If they're saying we're spending too much money, stop spending the money. It's as simple as that.
So now I know I'm not supposed to let my opinion on this show, but let me just, this is how I look at it. I look at it as the county executive, maybe even the comptroller, thought, well, if a like party was in the White House, then Erie County would get more federal money to support their out of control spending. Is that how you see it?
I mean, I think that's certainly what's happened in the past. You know, we know when we had the American Rescue Plan funding during COVID that Mark Poloncarz used it to fund his pet projects to grow the size of government and to add more jobs to the payroll. I think we're in a situation now that, you know, President Trump is holding, you know, dollars that are spent accountable. That's the way it should be. That's how I expect my federal tax dollars to be treated. You know, I don't expect them to be going to child care centers that don't actually have any children in them. You know, we should be cutting fraud, waste, and abuse at the county level, at the federal level, at the state level. So for Mark Poloncarz to think that, you know, his priorities are just going to continue to get bankrolled by somebody else is just, it's an irresponsible way to run government.
And I believe the record shows that you are the only member of the legislature to vote against the jobs in Amherst for the golf course?
Yeah, that is correct. When the plan came over to spend the $6 million and add the jobs, I was the sole no vote that would cut those. I will say in the amendment package to the budget, I did propose another amendment that would further cut the additional jobs, the second round of additional jobs, and Legislator Todaro did join me at that point on voting no. But the initial one, I was the only no vote.
So my main criticism, you say you have no money, and then let's put a golf course in Amherst. Legislator, what do you think the bills are going to do today? You think we'll be talking about a Bills game next week?
I think we're going to be talking about a Bills game. I think it's going to be tight, but I think we're going to come out on top. You know, we're a great underdog story, and I think we're going to have great success today.
Sounds great. Erie County Legislator Lindsay Larigo, as always, thank you so much.
Thanks, Joe.